Welcome to the X-Men Task Podcast. My name is Willie Simpson.
My name is Sonia Rappaport.
And today, Sonia, we are delving back into the X-Men movies, this time with The Wolverine, the 2013 sequel to X-Men Origins Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Really, Wolverine 2, to be more precise.
Yeah, everyone's favorite X-Man.
Yes, that's correct. Everyone's favorite X-Man is back yet again to perhaps redeem himself from the less than popular X-Men Origins movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting that at this point in the X-Men movie world, they already did a soft reboot of the series with the X-Men First Class, which Hugh Jackman, we saw, had a weird little cameo in. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of strange for them to whip back to the continuity from the, X-Men 1, 2, and 3 timeline.
Right.
With Famke Johnson and Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart still in our midst.
Yeah.
So even though we've now just established Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy and the gang, and Nicholas Hoult and Jennifer Lawrence, it's like they're not... They're still, kind of... The movie studio, in this case Fox, is torn between these two worlds they've created. And this movie hints at the end, spoilers, that there's going to be a bit of a reconciliation going on.
Right. Well, I think they felt they needed a soft reboot to try something new.
With the main X-Men.
But then it didn't go that well, so they wanted to revert to some of the original cast.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it didn't go that... to us, it didn't go that well. It was a moderate hit, yeah. X-Men First Class.
Okay.
And they had a bunch of young stars in it. Right. There's elements that worked.
Yeah.
But they still had Hugh Jackman under contract, and still massively popular as the character.
Right, I'm just saying that they're searching for and finding a way to, marry the two.
Right, but what I think is interesting is this movie exists in a weird place between before the marriage, which we'll see in X-Men Days of Future Past, fully happens, which is, overall a pretty clever experiment. You know, we'll get to it, but
that had its share of problems too, obviously.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. But I think, I think my memory, I haven't seen a while. I remember enjoying Days of Future Past more than First Class. Mm. I think there's a lot more about that movie that works. But anyway, I'm just saying, when this movie came out, I remember feeling kind of strange that they were, it was almost like a little bit old hat.
Yeah.
That they're reverting back to the cast and the, world that they were kind of getting rid of because X-Men 3 and X-Men Origins Wolverine were pretty bad. Mm-hmm. So, but this is a mild comeback movie, too, in a way. Mm-hmm. It does a lot to try to redeem that world, and especially the world of Hugh Jackman, I would say. So, this movie, 2013, directed by James Mangold, who... turns out to be the Oscar-nominated director of Logan.
Right.
Which, so, I mean, obviously tons of fans of Logan, considered one of the greatest superhero movies ever.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that he directed this movie, too.
I didn't either, but once you pointed it out, it does kind of make sense to me. I think this one hits a more serious but believable tone than the previous movies does, which is taken,
Right. So, this movie's better than X-Men Origins Wolverine by a long way. Yeah. It's still not... I wouldn't classify it as, fully good.
Yeah.
It's, a halfway to two-thirds good.
I would say that...
Not great, but then the end is bad.
But I think the problems with it are in the script, the plot line of it. Generally, there are things that are just nonsensical sometimes.
It's an overly complicated plot that doesn't add up to much.
But that's not the fault of the director.
No, and the elements...
I think all of, the direction parts of it are really solid.
Right. And there's a lot of elements in this movie that are really good. I think there's a lot of great cinematography. Mm-hmm. I like the color palette of this movie a lot. I think the special effects are pretty decent. I think the acting is, it's more in line of what we get from X-Men 1 and 2. It's restrained. There's some light humor in there.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Jackman's as good as he's ever been, really.
Yeah.
He's, playing the character as well as he ever has.
Mm-hmm.
His supporting cast is pretty good, like we said. The problems, like you said, plot, script, And for me, the third act is pretty poor.
But the third act is pretty poor to me because of the plot.
Yeah. But like leading up to it, it's very watchable. Like this is a very watchable movie. I'm never bored watching it. Maybe there's just a sequence here and there.
Except at the end when you kept skipping through.
Right, yeah. Well, because the end, right, that's true. I did skip through the end.
The first two-thirds of the movie are very enjoyable. Right. Maybe three-quarters.
And the reason I was skipping through the end, we did just watch this movie like 2 months ago out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's true.
For the hell of it. And 2 months ago when I rewatched it after having not seen it for years, I really enjoyed it.
That's
true.
Wow. We did watch it the whole way through. We didn't skip.
Yeah, exactly. But because we saw it so close, it's like, all right, we remember what happens. There's like a fight at the end, but there's something about this movie I like. I can't say it's bad by any means.
It's kind of like what I was saying with the past movies that we've talked about. It's that even if there are problems with it or things I don't like, we'll nitpick a little bit, whatever, but it's engaging, and that's really the measure of a movie for me. Do I want to sit and watch it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it for a while.
There's enough stuff in here to make it engaging. Like we said, Hugh Jackman's performance, the way it looks is pretty good. Some really dynamite sequences in general.
Yeah.
Set pieces and stuff.
And action sequences in particular.
The action is hit and miss for me, as we'll go through. There's some scenes I find kind of like too lame, superhero cartoony.
Yeah.
I wish it was a little
bit... But there is a lot of action.
Yeah.
And it's not like...
Some's really good and some's not so good.
But for me, it depends on what the sequence is. Some of it makes sense in the context of the story and some of it doesn't really make sense in the context of the story. And that's where you run into trouble, I think.
Yeah. So. I agree. I just want to I want to try to sum up my feelings on this movie before we jump into it. It's because we've watched, me and you personally have watched a lot of action movies in the past 3 months.
Uh-huh.
We've talked about it in the podcast. We just dive deep into Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Paul Verhoeven, like RoboCop and Total Recall, like level awesomeness. And then like the real cheesy, like Commando, Tango and Cash level.
Yeah, I've seen a lot.
Right. Mainly because I'm a Patreon subscriber to the Action Boys podcast, which I can't thoroughly recommend enough, led by John Gabris, Ryan Stanger, and Ben Rogers. They're three really funny comedians. You have to pay to listen to it, but it's well worth it. They just talk about classic action movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hilarious and great. So that's really encouraged us to go in and watch these movies that we weren't so into. And so I can't help personally but compare a movie like The Wolverine to a classic action movie, which I think the Wolverine series aspires to be.
Hmm.
The only way I can describe it is this movie's caught between a standard Marvel MCU Avengers fair type movie,
mm-hmm.
like what we'd see from a Captain America or a Thor or even Avengers 1. It's, mm-hmm. it's just got a lot of those superhero elements that...
Yeah, well, it's a superhero movie first and foremost.
Right.
I wouldn't even really classify it with Schwarzenegger or Stallone any of those because...
But it wants to be.
Not, but it doesn't.
A little bit, just because it's violent and it's...
And about action sequences.
Right, but it's about a lone hero that's very overly masculine and, just killing people. And I mean, you're right. It's not a Stallone Schwarzenegger movie at all, but it's of the genre of an action movie where you've got an over hyper masculine man, who's gruff and following his own rules and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying, but I still think the action part of these Wolverine movies is very secondary to the superhero nature of the movies.
I agree, and I think that's the fatal flaw of this movie in particular.
Yeah.
I think the Logan, the next Wolverine movie, crosses into higher art world where it's not only it's a really good action movie, there are superhero elements, but it's not, it's really tamped down more as a character study.
Yeah.
And you get the ultra violence that we enjoy as, disgruntled adults that we like in Total Recall and RoboCop. You know what I mean? That adds the spice to the seriousness of the affair.
Hmm.
I don't know how else to describe the point I'm making there other than a Simpsons reference where Bart and Lisa are in Itchy and Scratchy Land and they're watching the history of Itchy and Scratchy and the robots are chopping each other with the axes and the blood's just spurting on them. And they're do you wonder if violence has desensitized us? And nah. I feel I feel you need a level of like super violence to really feel something sometimes.
I'm gonna disagree with you on that, but okay.
Okay, fine. But I'm just saying that like the part of the reason I like Logan so much is because he's literally chopping heads off and gushes of blood are spurting from their spinal columns. Uh-huh. And it's not like I like that stuff, obviously, but it's a fantasy element that's it's invigorating as a moviegoer. You know, and you don't get, like, too many of these type of movies are made for, like, a broad general audience. You know, like, right. Including this one, it's a PG-13. Mm-hmm. So you don't get, like, Wolverine stabbing a lot of people, but you don't get the violent gushes of blood.
I don't need the gushes of blood, personally. There are some scenes in this that are gory, kind of.
I think when it's happening to Wolverine, they're allowed to show the gore because he can heal himself.
Right.
I think that's the secret rule I've discovered in this, that somehow uh-huh. the censors are like, oh, like, you can show him be, like, all this gore because he heals himself.
Right.
So kids aren't afraid, I guess.
Yeah.
But you can't, he's killing a lot of anonymous Japanese ninjas, and they're just their deaths are kind of bloodless,
marginalized, right? Yeah.
As is the case in all these X-Men movies, when you see Wolverine kill somebody,
yeah,
the blood is not there. Okay, that's the blood aspect. All right, so back to this movie. You know, we've got mixed feelings on it, but it's way better than the other one.
Watchable, yeah.
Right? It's a return to form from X-Men Origins Wolverine and X-Men 3 in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just ask this question before we dive deep. Do you think it's... We just watched X-Men First Class. Is it better?
Yeah, I think it is.
I only agree, too, in retrospect. I think when X-Men First Class came out, I really enjoyed it
mm-hmm.
in the movie theater. I thought, wow, this is a cool new chapter.
Yeah, I was excited about it, and right. I wasn't that excited about this.
Right.
So, in the end, maybe it's about expectations.
Yes, because when I saw this, I forget even how I saw it. I might have not even gone to the movies to see this. Maybe I downloaded it or something,
mm-hmm.
Or just got it when it came out on streaming. But I remember, like, not caring about it.
Yeah, same.
I saw it, but now it's, like, years later, like, weirdly, like, I kind of like this movie way more than I like First Class.
Yeah.
I find it just way more interesting. Okay. All right, so this movie opens pretty awesomely.
Yeah,
so
I know you love this scene.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so it opens like it's we're in Nagasaki the day it's being bombed, which is this a problematic scene from a historical fiction standpoint?
Is it?
I don't know. Like, I find like I think the atomic bombings of Japan of Hiroshima and Nagasaki are. In my opinion, it's like a fairly controversial, like, moment in human history.
Yeah, of course.
You know, both my grandparents were in World War II, my grandfathers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when they were alive, I remember them, like, speaking of the bombing. Like, one of my grandfathers was in Japan. He, like, spoke of it fairly positively. He mm-hmm. said it ended the war.
Yeah.
And that was the opinion of many of the service people there, you know, at the time.
Right.
And you know, he actually told me an interesting story about the night Japan surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
He you know, he wasn't a frontline soldier. I think he was just like a clerk in a like an office over there somewhere on a base.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the night Japan surrendered, he and his buddies hid under their bunks the entire night, rolling like whiskey bottles to each other
mm-hmm.
because he says all the soldiers were partying so hard. He says I can't tell you how many people were accidentally shooting each other.
Ugh.
And like just firing their guns wildly and like throwing grenades into the distance for fun, not like at people, but you know,
uh-huh.
just like taking a pin out of grenade, throwing it, like blowing it up for like the hell of it.
Yeah.
And he says like so much crazy shit was going on. Him and his friends decided to hide under the bunks. Which
and get drunk secretly.
Yeah, but I mean, like they're like we gotta
whiskey bottles are around.
Yeah, like we gotta like, okay. But we gotta like you know make sure we don't get shot accidentally.
Uh huh.
So you know it was a crazy time. Like, yeah. I remember too. I'll tell one last little dumb anecdote. I was in college. I took a class called World War II.
Uh huh.
And
that fits.
Right. Yeah. No, I loved like World War II history.
I know you still do.
Right. Yeah. And I was so excited. It was like my best. Topic in high school, and I read a million books on it independently.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I was like this huge World War II expert. I watched all the movies and TV shows. And this class was really like overly hard. The professor like assigned us like four readings that were really boring and like not interesting.
Uh-huh.
And it was like two essay tests that, and it was, I thought his grading was really subjective.
Okay.
Anyway, I hate this guy, but he was this old codger teaching it. I don't know if he was a World War II veteran himself. Probably not. But anyway, he like brought up like the subject of the atomic bombings, and he was like, you know, it's unequivocally been proved by historians that they were a good thing, and let's move on. Mm-hmm. And I raised my hand in this lecture of like over 100 students, and I was wearing like my like tie-dye t-shirt.
Like Peace is Awesome shirt.
Yeah, I was just like in like a mild hippie phase in my junior year of college. And I might have actually been a little high for this class, which I do not recommend kids at home like getting high for college lectures. It's impossible to pay attention. Anyway, I raised my hand. I was like, you know what? Were the atomic bombings all that good? Like maybe they weren't that great.
What a controversial opinion.
Yeah, no, I just like broached it like as mildly as possible. I said, like, isn't there like another opinion that like maybe we shouldn't have like used nuclear weapons? Like, you know, people said like, why don't we just bomb like Tokyo Harbor to like show them that we had the A-bomb and say like, don't make us use this kind of thing.
Right.
And there's other people that have opinions too. Like, you know, because generals at the time argued that like a million American soldiers will die invading Japan, which is a ginormous amount of people that it would have to die when the war is like almost over anyway. But like historians have since argued like maybe it wouldn't have cost that much. Maybe there's another way. Maybe we just had to wait longer to like tie the screws on Japan to get them to surrender. It's a controversial thing, is the point. And he chewed me out for like 20 minutes saying like what an idiot I was.
Yeah.
And like, I'm so completely wrong. Like, you know, you are not correct. Like the bombings like had to happen. You know, history will smile upon Harry Truman's decision.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, history is in the writer.
Right. Yeah, so, and it's the eye of the beholder, too. Yeah. So, anyway, my point is, like, and, like, obviously Japan did, like, really fucked up shit as a country. You know, we just listened to a podcast
on... Yeah, but America did tons of fucked up stuff, too, and it's, like...
I mean, there's, like, war is not good. Yeah. The era, like, before, like... I don't know, pick a year, like, in the 20th century.
Now, it still happens
now. Like, there's, like, a lot of racism in the world and bad stuff, you know, but...
Yeah, I mean, genocide still happens. And,
yeah, like... I mean, you could type in slavery in Wikipedia, and it'll tell you that approximately 20 million people in the world today are still enslaved somewhere, either as sex workers or, like, literal, like enslavement, right. You know, doing jobs. And it's, like, it's a fucked up world still, if you really want to look at it like that.
Yeah.
But, And like I said, Japan, you know, they bombed America first in Pearl Harbor. They, you know, had the Bataan Death March. They had, like, attempted, like, semi-genocide themselves in various regions, right. You know, Korea and stuff, and invasion of China. Like, they're a totally brutal regime led by a military dictatorship. So, it, you know, my overall point is that, like, still, the atomic bombings in a wartime setting is...
Right, and, well, that's another side of the other side of the... Yeah.
It's like a suffering beyond imagining.
Well, it's not just one bomb. It's like three bombs.
Well, two bombs.
Oh, sorry, two bombs. Right, yeah. Right? So it's like...
Hiroshima, Nagasaki a week later or so, or like 10 days later. I forget what it was.
Right.
And, you know, people fucking incinerated instantly. Whole cities were destroyed. The people that were alive got like horribly irradiated. You could, like, read books about them, which I have. It's, like, horrendous. They're walking zombies. You know, there's still survivors to this day, which is actually incredible, too.
Okay, so is your idea that it's insensitive to depict this?
I don't know, like, because, like, I think
time it's... time in history? Because, I mean, like, the Holocaust, obviously, was, like, extremely...
Right, and that's in fucking X-Men 1. Yeah, I know.
But is, like, an outright depiction of historical events offensive?
No, it's not. I don't think that's offensive, personally.
So what
but
part I of it?
But, like, we're talking about a superhero movie or two, where in one superhero movie you have, like, the Holocaust... in the other one, you have this, the atomic bombings.
Yeah.
I just...
And the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right. Well, that... Well, nothing happened in the Cuban Missile Crisis. Peace was had, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. The point is, like, I'm just curious what our followers think about, like, is it okay to depict what they depicted here? Which is a fairly graphic, like sober depiction of an atomic... of a, like, a Flying Fortress bombing plane dropping... the atomic bomb and, like, a really graphic, like, long shot view of a nuclear mushroom cloud blowing up a city in, like, glorious CGI. I think it looks amazing.
But who would this be offensive to, if anyone?
survivors of the people of Nagasaki. I don't know.
So then, like, why was this not a discussion with the Holocaust scene that, like, it would be offensive to Holocaust survivors? I feel like that kind of thing is depicted all the time.
Yeah. I think you're right. I'm not, like, saying it is offensive. I'm just wondering if it is.
Uh-huh.
And, I have Jewish heritage myself, so I was not offended by the Magneto Holocaust scenes in the slightest.
Yeah.
I'm not offended by Inglourious Basterds in the rewriting history.
Right. I mean, that's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm not
right.
Japanese, obviously, so yeah. I'm not going to speak for Japanese people and say if anyone's offended, then that's their right. But I don't know.
I mean, maybe offended's not the right word. I just wonder if it's like, if it's tasteful.
Uh-huh.
Is it tasteful to depict this in the way it's depicted?
I have no answer.
That's the question.
You.
All right, so I just let people decide. I think all I can say is that my stupid American perspective is that I think it looks cool.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's like, I think historical fiction is fascinating to me personally. That's why I like Inglourious Basterds. I don't mind twisting historical like events to like and inserting Captain America, you know, in World War II. I think that's, I mean, they did it at the time. Like, Superman fought in World War II in the 1940s, as did Captain America, literally punched Hitler in the face.
And this was part of the Wolverine story, too, wasn't it?
Well,
that he, like, fought in World War II and was in Japan and, like...
Yeah, I mean, it's like, this is general, this story is based on the Chris Claremont, Frank Miller comic miniseries from the 1980s.
Yeah.
I don't think it goes back to the, like, I think the Nagasaki bombing is added by this movie. That's not in the comic books.
You know, I think if this were depicted the way that your history professor in college talked about it, where it was really glorified,
right.
And the viewpoint of the movie was made clear as like this was the ultimate righteous move in history, then it would without a doubt be problematic.
Right, yeah.
I think it's portrayed pretty
like Wolverine salutes the mushroom cloud
or something, you know, but I feel like it's pretty neutral in its depiction.
I think it's very bold and fascinating choice, and I think it looks spectacular.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's the wrong choice word again, spectacular. It looks like interesting. Like it's a just the way they show that plane flying over slowly and the whistling of the bomb.
I mean, it's ominous because you know what's happening.
Yeah.
But
somehow Wolverine knows what's happening too.
Yeah.
Like, right. So Wolverine, we last saw him in World War II in the last movie. He was in D-Day.
Uh-huh.
So he got transferred to Japan somehow in the midst of that without his pal Sabretooth. And he got captured. Like, he's a prisoner of the Japanese in some kind of sewer well. And he's, like, their most, like, obviously their most dangerous prisoner because they put, like, an iron grate over, like, a very long sewer well, and he's chained up.
Yeah.
First of all, how did they capture him? You know, he's kind of an invincible super
warrior.
I know.
How does he, like, wind up in these
situations? Seems like he's almost happy to be there because he could get out anytime he wants, it shows, kind of. So anyway, it's an interesting scene. I think it's cool to dwell on the scene a little bit because it's interesting. You see this young Japanese commander who we learn his name is Yoshida, and he sees his commanders like all committing what's it called? Seppuku?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it, am I pronouncing that correctly?
I don't know.
Anyway, they're all stabbing themselves in the stomach is the honorable thing to do. For some reason, they also show like the Japanese soldiers freeing the American GIs that are captured there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the real history too, is that there were American GIs that got bombed in Hiroshima and Nagasaki,
mm-hmm.
like which is like messed up. I don't know if any of them survived. Maybe some of them, but Wolverine's among them. He's like in the special like sewer prison.
Mm-hmm.
He warns the guy Yoshida to like join him, and the guy doesn't. But he's still having second thoughts. He's about to kill himself, too. Wolverine, like, comes out of nowhere to save him, throws him down the sewer well, covers him with, like, a heavy iron plate, and then we see the atomic fire, like, rush into the... Like, he escapes an atomic bomb by, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah.
He's, like, outrunning it. It's, like, the ultimate, like, cool guy running from explosion thing there possibly could be. You know, and that's another thing. I hate to get, like, crass again, but I always wondered, like, where you could stand where an atomic bomb wouldn't hurt you. Like, what's the absolute, like 1 inch
the limit.
Yeah, like there's got to be, you know,
I don't know,
like it's weird, like you read about the atomic testings in in the deserts of Nevada all those years, and people would sit on the roofs of casinos with sunglasses and watch the nukes go off,
right?
And like obviously a lot of people did get sick from that, like years later.
Yeah.
They got cancer and stuff, so
they said you could see it from the strip, right?
Yeah, you could. Yeah. It was like a tourist attraction.
Yeah, right.
I mean, can you imagine that's like insane.
Uh-huh.
To have like witnessed that like casually as a tourist.
Yeah,
I can't imagine. But so there's probably no real safe distance. Anyway, so Wolverine saves this guy's life. We see one of the coolest moments ever in like the history of Wolverine. He gets engulfed by atomic flames, and he heals in like 4 seconds.
Yeah,
you know, like let's be honest. But like, I think it would have been cooler if it took him like a week to heal. They're like down there for like 3 days or something, and he's like, it takes him that long, and he's in like insane pain, and he finally gets it together.
Right.
The fact that he heals in 4 seconds makes it seem like not a big deal at all.
I know, yeah. Well, that's part of the thing, is that there's supposed to be some element of like sacrifice or something, and the fact that he is saving this guy.
Right.
But it's like you said, it's not a big deal at all.
Yeah.
It's so easy for him.
And somehow Wolverine like seems to know about this atomic bomb too. Like, that also doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, he heals like way too fast for my taste. I think the comic books didn't have Wolverine being like a super healer quite right away like they have in the movies,
and definitely not as fast as it's shown here.
Right, like, but Wolverine needs to go to the hospital a lot of times in the cartoon. You know, like he gets knocked out and he has to be hospitalized a lot more.
He's like a little bit more normal in that sense.
Yeah, he heals, like he can't be killed, but he like can be really like stopped. You know,
but I think it's amped up in this movie because they need to contrast with like later on he loses his healing ability, and he has to like be able to tell that he's lost his healing ability quickly.
Yeah, and but also it's like it's been the case in these movies, he heals like way too fast.
Yeah,
you know. All right, so anyway, so that's what happened. He saves this guy's life. The guy feels indebted to him. Wolverine like wakes up like in the future. He sees Famke Janssen's back as Jean Grey, who in like the entire movie she's laying on her side in lingerie for the most part. Wolverine's having like these weird schizophrenic like dreams. I guess they're just dreams to start off, but I think later on he like flat out hallucinates and sees her in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So something's wrong with his brain. You know, that led to an interesting question. Like, does his healing factor cure him of mental illness?
Nope.
Yeah, I guess not, because he's always, like, depressed.
Definitely not.
Yeah, he's always, like, really depressed and always drinking. He's, like, an alcoholic, even though the alcohol can't affect him that much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess his healing factor doesn't work on his emotional state. So he's still, like, torn over, like, the events of X-Men 3 when he had to kill Jean.
Yeah.
Which is, like, kind of a weird emotional touchstone to go back to for the character. Just because that movie's so bad, and...
But he loved her.
I know, but it's just, like, you're referencing a really shitty movie as, like, a major emotional linchpin of this, like, better movie.
Yeah, well...
That's, like, kind of, like, one of the weird quirks of this film.
But as a movie maker, don't you have to just assume that all of it adds up to a universe and, like, move on?
Yeah, they're taking elements... I mean, what they do, they keep paring it down. So, like, X-Men Origins Wolverine, there's, like, way too much of the X-Men shit, and it's dumb, you know? The references are over the top, they're way too much fan service, and they're just, like, you know, Wolverine's jacket, you know, the origin, like...
dumb.
In this one, they pare it down a bit more, they, like, get to the more the emotion of, like, this one character, Jean Grey.
Except they hold on to the fact that he's afraid of flying for some reason.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, it's really dumb. Like, we've talked about that, like, of all people in the world, he should be the least afraid of flying for a bunch of reasons. If the plane explodes, he'll survive. Even if he lands in the middle of the ocean, like, he can't... I don't think he'd be drowned, as we'll see in a future movie.
Right.
He can swim. I mean, it'd be shitty for him. Like, he'd have to swim for 1,000 miles, but, like, he would live, you know? So I don't know why he's so afraid of flying. That doesn't make sense. But we'll get to that. But anyway, I just find it strange. Famke Janssen's presence in this movie is a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
She's, like, playing... She's still in the mode of we saw her in X-Men 3, where she's, like, this weird, like, messed-up character.
Yeah.
Like, devoid of a real personality that she had in X-Men 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's, like, this... There's something, like, crazy about her. And she, the way her dream... She's, like, a nightmare.
Yeah.
To him. So she keeps saying weird cryptic shit to him all the time. So he wakes up from that. That was a dream. And then we see him, like, where he really is. He's in the Canadian Rockies. Maybe not the Rockies, but the Canadian mountains somewhere. Like, living as a mountain man, as, like, a hobo mountain man.
Who's friends with the bear.
Right. He's, like, the friends of the bears in this movie. He's, like, marking his territory with his claws. He goes into town for supplies on occasion, and he doesn't, like... He's being secretly tracked by this red-haired woman named Yukio.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on Yukio?
I like Yukio.
Yeah, I like her a lot, too.
She's spunky.
Yeah. She's just a really, like, well-played character.
Yeah, I like the actress who plays her, too.
Really cool look to her. Like, mm-hmm. strange. Like, she's like, she's like unconventionally beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
you want to say what you told me about her?
What?
Is this, like, insensitive to say? She's got, like, a real triangle face.
That's what you said.
You said that. you said that to me years ago, originally.
Oh, really?
Anyway, she's got an interesting, unconventional look to her, but she looks cool. Huh. Just like a really like good character, you know, like you would think that there'd be something like cliche about her, but somehow the performance rises above it.
Yeah.
She's tracking Wolverine. She needs him for some reason. Wolverine, meanwhile, is like annoyed at this local group of like drunken hunters in town because they shot a bear that poisoned him with illegal poison, and then they didn't kill him, and the bear was like suffering, and Wolverine had to kill it very sadly.
Yeah.
He's a friend of the bears. Like, I don't
so
get
weird.
Yeah. Like, it's.
I don't like that as a plot device.
I think it's establishing Wolverine's like ultra masculinity, but like it's like transcendent masculinity. You know what I mean? He's like a man of nature.
No, it's supposed to be. I think. Well, yeah, I guess that's part of it. But it's supposed to be setting up, like what Yukio says to him later, where she's like, "You're a soldier. You're just looking for justice, same as you know, any other soldier."
He's a vigilante Mountie.
Yeah, right? But it just. I don't know. He's not supposed to have this, like, innate connection with animals, necessarily, from what I know of him.
But he's an animalistic type mutant.
Yeah.
Because he's got smelling in the fangs, and he's, you know...
Fine, but it's like, they almost make it like he can read the thoughts of this bear.
I know, it's so bizarre.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with him being a friend of the bears, but...
It's just a device to, like, get him into town, get him into a bar fight with, like, these dudes that tried to kill the bear.
Right.
And then, like, set him up with Yukio, basically.
He should really find him
and take him to Japan.
He should just really have called the police on them. Like, the fact that he antagonizes these guys knowing that he's an invincible motherfucker is crazy to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like...
I know what you mean, but I'm going to move past it because... Yeah. All right, now Yukio finds him. She's like, let's go to Japan. He's like, no way, I don't want to go there. I got stuff to do. And she's like, just for one day, you have to say goodbye to... Master
Yashida. And that trick, he just had it, by coincidence, had a dream about him the night before.
Right. So he's like, intrigued. All right, fine, I'll go for one day and say goodbye, and then I need to come right back here.
Right, because I think she shows him the sword that the guy promised him. We'll see later.
Right, we'll see the story to that. So, okay, great. They get on the plane.
She tells him she's a mutant, and her power is to detect when people die.
Yeah.
And she already can see that Wolverine is, like, going to die, and she's trying to keep it a secret at first.
Mm-hmm.
Her powers are kind of interesting. She says she sees it through a keyhole.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I would hate to have that power.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
I know, because there's, like, no plus side to it, really. You know?
I mean, I guess unless she can prevent the deaths of people.
But she said she's always right, which means that probably she can't.
And then but then Wolverine points out later correctly that she's wrong at times, too.
With him?
Yeah.
She's not.
No, but she said that, well, yeah, Yashida died and she didn't see it.
Because he didn't really die.
I know, but, like, that's an example Wolverine uses as saying your power doesn't work all the time.
But he's wrong.
But he's right, because he doesn't die. He lives.
Yeah, so she's right. She didn't see his death because he didn't actually die.
No, but she sees Wolverine's death.
Because he did actually die.
For a minute, but then he comes back to life.
I'm just saying, on a technicality, like, her powers are always right.
Well, I mean, that's the point you're making feeds into, like, a big fan theory on Reddit and stuff, that she was correct all along, because she says you die with your heart in your hands.
Yes.
But that's what happens in Logan, technically, when he dies at the end with the little girl in his arms.
Right.
But, like, here, later on, she says, I saw you die in this room. She's referring to the hospital room.
Yeah, because he's legally dead. Like, he's flatlining for quite a while.
All right, so it's a technicality,
that's how they set it up on purpose.
All right, fine, I get it. But you know what I'm saying, too.
I know what you're saying, too, but...
Like, there's reason to believe that her power might not be 100% accurate.
Whatever.
And anyway, let's just agree on this. It's a bizarre power to have that doesn't make any sense, because what in anything about a genetic mutation would allow someone to... specifically seen to the future of someone's specific death.
I'm just saying it sucks to have that power. That's like a depressing power, you know? Like, a lot of times, like, mutant powers come with, like, you know, it's like a double-edged sword. Like, you get stuff even though some parts of it suck. With her, it's just like all parts of it suck. She doesn't have, like, a positive spin on her power at all.
Yeah, I agree. It's bizarre. It doesn't make sense.
Anyway.
So he flies to Japan. He's afraid on the plane for some reason. It's a long 15-hour flight. They get to this, like, cool Japanese mansion somewhere, where it's Yoshida's, like, house. It turns out the Yoshida guy is, like, a billionaire industrialist, He's got this very complicated, like, web of family intrigue about the succession because he's on his deathbed. He's an old man. What was I going to say about that?
Were you going to say how his deathbed is your dream chair?
Oh, yeah. He's on this, like, really cool, like, deathbed thing where it's like, hard to describe, but you know if you've seen the movie. All these, like, weird... If you ever had one of those toys where it's, like, a bunch of needles and you can push your hand into it, mm-hmm. and it makes an imprint.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like what his bed is, and it's responsive to his every movement.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It seems like the ultimate in, like, shiatsu massage or something. Like, one other, like, cool little scene I noticed where Wolverine, he's walking around this mansion, he sees two dudes practicing kendo, mm-hmm. or is it pronounced kendo, I'm not sure, but it's the type of Japanese martial arts where you're wearing, like, this, like, blue mask, like, it's almost like a hockey mask, and this long blue robe, and you're fighting with these large wooden sticks, and I just have a fond memory of that from this PC game that I always had as a kid called Budokan. Where it was like this realistic karate video game where one of the fighting styles was kendo. So it's just like cool for me to see that in a movie. Before he sees the old man, Yukio insists that Wolverine gets like a shower or like a bath and a shave. Because right now he's really covered in like long body hair and a beard and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand. Like, she actually has to hold the knife up to his neck to like force him to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of those like cute scenes where the character's being forced to get clean, but like I don't get like why. One, why is he so resistant to it? And two, like, it's just bizarre.
I think he's like, oh, this is some old guy. Like, I know him. He's not going to care like if I have a beard or not. And everyone around this guy is so like, you know, used to serving him in every way and making sure appearances are correct and everything like that, that they, like, force him into it. I don't know. I almost thought of it as, like, an homage to the comic genre itself, right. because you can totally imagine, like, the comic panels where, like, they're scrubbing him with these big brooms.
Which is fun. I actually kind of like the sequence. The sequence itself is funny to me.
Yeah, and he's, like, resisting them, kind of, like, all right, okay, I got it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And it's almost like they scrub his body hair off, too, which is, I think because he gets hairier later. I don't know. Wolverine should have a hairy back, in my opinion. He shouldn't have aesthetically pleasing body hair, as Hugh Jackman does. Something maybe they could correct in the future actor.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, they clean him up. They give him a shave. He's now regular looking again, at least to the character.
Yep.
He meets the old man. The old man's like, I wanted to give you a gift. I know, like, this immortality of yours must be a curse. Which, like, is a big presumption on this guy's part.
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't know why. He's like, I figured out a way to take your immortality in a way that you'll just live out the rest of your life to a nice old man. You can have a family, fall in love, and just die peacefully one day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you want that? And Wolverine's like, not really. It's like, yeah, I'm a gruff loner that's really sad half the time, but I do kind of like being immortal and having my superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
So he turns the guy down, which is like, bizarrely, the whole point of the movie and the whole crux of the movie, like, it doesn't make sense that the Yoshida offers him this peaceful chance to take his powers away.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the movie is all about taking Wolverine's powers away by this Yoshida guy in a very violent way.
Why doesn't that make sense?
Because of the whole plot that unfolds afterwards with the family drama and the assassination attempts and, like, everything. Like, none of it adds up to me.
Well, but the whole thing was that this is, like, a thinly veiled excuse for Yoshida to live forever.
Yeah.
It's not that he wants to give Wolverine a gift or relieve him of this great burden.
But if Wolverine,
it's that he wants it for himself.
That's true. But if Wolverine just said, yeah, you know, you're right, take my powers.
Yeah.
Yoshida would have been like, okay. And he probably would have done it very nicely.
He wouldn't have... all the rest of the stuff wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. But, like, all the rest of the stuff does happen, and it doesn't...
Because Wolverine said no.
But it's the way it happens and what happens is so complicated and confusing to me that it's almost like they planned for him saying no.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But they also planned for him saying yes, too, which is...
Right.
I just don't get...
Contingency plan.
Yeah, but it's just bizarre to me. This is what I'm talking... This is what we both...
I mean, the whole sequence of events that unfolds is bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, can you explain, like, what happens and why after Wolverine says no, like, generally?
Well, I mean, let's go through it.
I mean, we'll go through it, but, like, I'm just curious, like, what is the plot of this movie now that Wolverine has said no?
Like, now Yashida is going to take his power by force.
But, okay, but he's plotting the... so he pretends to die.
Yeah.
And then he's plotting the assassination of his daughter at his own funeral.
His granddaughter.
His granddaughter, right. But what does that accomplish? Is it just to get Wolverine to protect her? To, like, get him more mixed up in the story? That, like, I don't get... I just, like... I'm sure someone can explain to us and we're, like, totally stupid about it.
Like, why he needs his granddaughter to die?
Yeah, like, what... did is he actually trying to kill his granddaughter? Or is he trying to get Wolverine to protect her so that he can, like, corner Wolverine in Nagasaki later to capture him again? When you, like, technically had him at your house with all your armed guards and stuff in the first place.
Right, yeah, that's true.
Like, I just don't get, like, what... And there's, like, political intrigue with the fiancé of Mariko and stuff with Mariko's dad. Mm-hmm. Like, and Mariko's, like, ex-boyfriend that's a ninja.
Right.
That she can't be with. And, like, all the, like, plot stuff that Viper is, like, unfolding.
I'm saying, yeah.
But can you explain any of that? Can you, like, tie those threads together?
Well, probably not. But the reason he leaves all of his business assets to Mariko is because he perceives her as really weak. Right?
The grandfather leaves it all to her?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, like, some of the plot is that, like, her dad really wanted the company all along. Like, he wanted all that power. But since it was left to Mariko, then, like, the dad was the one that wanted her assassinated.
Oh, so it's the dad that's trying to kill her.
Yeah.
Not the grandfather.
Right.
All
right,
so that makes sense. So he's trying to kill his own daughter.
So that he can get the
company. And the fiance is in. Okay, and then the fiance is in with the dad to conspire.
The dad set up the marriage with the fiance,
right?
Because of, like, then he'll have a stronger political base.
Right. Okay. So it's that actually makes more sense if the dad's. I forgot about the whole point about the dad. And that's why there's a big climactic fight between Wolverine and the father.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So that makes sense. But still, it's like, it's weird. Because the main conflict is still between Wolverine and the grandfather.
Right.
And it's almost like he had him where he wanted him in the beginning of the movie, and then, like,
sleeping in his house.
Right. Weirdly lets him go. Like, I mean, he doesn't let him go. So this, like, blonde woman Viper, Dr. Green, she was basically like a Poison Ivy type character.
Yeah.
She, like, spits into Wolverine's mouth one night and infects him with a disgusting spider poison.
Right.
That completely hampers his healing power. We see later on that it's like this weird metallic spider thing that's, like, gripped onto his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he has trouble healing. So, and then there's, like, a scene where, like, Mariko tries to kill herself and Wolverine saves her. And so they get, like, tied together a little bit. He becomes, mm-hmm. like, her bodyguard.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense because she has a bodyguard in Yukio.
Right.
Who, you know, I don't know. Like, where is Yukio, like, half the time with Mariko? But anyway, they go to the funeral of the grandfather, and it's like a really cool scene, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just staged really well. It's like a lot of good cinematic set pieces in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an ambush at the funeral. Everyone's getting attacked because Mariko is a target to be killed, which is kind of like a cool, like, Yakuza subplot, like, business going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Wolverine has to fight off these guards. It's here he discovers his healing factor's not working. He gets shot and stabbed a bunch, and he's just not healing, and he's in a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
He's not dying, though, so it's, like, kind of working. So it's, like, almost like they make this big deal that his healing power is not working, but it's still working.
Yeah.
Like, which is, I don't know. It's like it's reduced to like 30% or something.
Right.
So then they get on this train. They're escaping together. And there's a big fight on the train. This is like one of the big action set pieces of the movie. I think it's like cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just the fatal flaw of the train fight scene. So he ends up on the roof of this bullet train. It's going like 400 miles an hour.
It's kind of reminiscent of... what's that scene in one of the Matrix sequels where he's fighting against the albino twins?
Right, on like in the highway.
Yeah.
It's also kind of something out of a Mission Impossible movie, too.
Mm.
There's a fight on a train. I think the first Mission Impossible.
Right.
It's been done before. My problem with the scene, it looks okay. There's like some pretty cartoony elements with the way Wolverine leaps, mm-hmm. and the CGI is not so great. The problem is the guy he's fighting is just a normal dude.
Yeah.
And this normal guy is surviving way too long for the situation. Like, yeah. He keeps managing to save himself. He's jumping over the same stuff Wolverine's jumping over. Like, you can buy with Wolverine. He's a super mutant hero soldier man mm-hmm. that is trained in, like, karate and, like, has no fear.
Right.
You know, he has superhuman senses. Like, this other dude is somehow just miraculously, like, holding his own, like, with a small knife on a bullet train. He does, like, get knocked off eventually, but still.
But he's fine, yeah.
Like, that's a big climactic fight, and it's almost like he's just fighting this, like, no-name guy.
You know what I was just thinking of is, like, that really old, like, 1930s movie. It's, like, Buster Keaton. Remember that
one? The General.
The General, yeah, that's right. 1920s movie. Where, like, Buster Keaton's an engineer.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah. That's way better.
Honestly, like, all of this stuff and right. The Matrix and Mission Impossible go back to that.
Yeah.
Where it's, like.
And that's way better because that was done in real life with, like, Buster Keaton actually risking his life doing those stunts.
And it
on a shows. Real train.
It's
yeah.
like super suspenseful and entertaining.
I mean, there's like scenes in The General where it's like Buster Keaton on a train. He's like on an escaping train for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And he's like literally, he's doing like real time train stunts.
Yeah.
Where the train's like about to run him over and he's like laying on the tracks or something and he hops out of the way.
But there's also all those scenes where they're like running over the roof of the train and going like in and out of the compartments.
Right. It looks really like you could twist an ankle, fall off and fall on the tracks and die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's like when movies were movies. but, you know, here it's a big dumb CGI sequence.
Yeah, right. Anyway.
So, you know, there's like we get another scene where I think the dad is Mariko's father is yelling at Yukio, saying like you failed, and that he says something like you're just a toy doll, like assigned to be her friend. You are nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, and it's just like there's a lot of they really show off the like a lot of Japanese chauvinism in this movie, which I think is like a borderline cliche whenever you get a serious like a movie that like an action movie or any kind of movie where you have serious Japanese characters. They really make a point of showing like male Japanese chauvinism.
I didn't think that was a sign of chauvinism. I thought that was our clue, like the clue to the audience that the dad was the one who's
he's a bad
be behind
guy.
This assassination attempt.
That's true, but like, but I'm just saying in general though, like you see a lot of male Japanese chauvinism in movies.
Hmm.
That's something I've noticed anyway. So then, you know, Mariko and Wolverine are on the run. They check into like a love hotel somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they get the, like, Mission to Mars room. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty, like, funny. You know, love hotels, I guess, are a thing in Asia.
Yep.
You know, Wolverine is, like, her bodyguard now. He's, like, standing on the balcony in the rain while she's sleeping.
Right. Well, here's where the healing factor comes in, though, because he just, like, collapses.
Right, because first of all, now he's, like, flat-out hallucinating. He sees Jean Grey again, collapses in the rain. He wakes up, like, a veterinarian is treating him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, how they managed to pull that off.
Yeah, I know, especially because they say that he might have gotten scratched a couple times during the operation.
Yeah, you see the bandages on the vet.
But, like, why would this vet continue to operate on him? How would he agree to that? Anyway.
Yeah, it's very weird. Like, why would this guy, like, what would Mariko compel this guy? Because Wolverine's unconscious. It's not like they can use, she doesn't have a gun. How did she get this guy? Wouldn't, like, if you brought an unconscious bleeding man to a veterinarian, no matter where,
maybe
the guy would be like, let's call 911. Let's get him to the real hospital.
Yeah, but maybe because she's really rich.
Oh, right.
Like, maybe she just pays him a bunch of money.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, we can see the budding romance between the two mismatched characters.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're escaping further. They go to, like, some home she has in Nagasaki. And they, like, fall in love some more. What do you think of their romance together?
Nah.
I mean, it's based off the comic book, you know.
Yeah. Do you buy it?
It's a big part of Wolverine's character in the comics that he's got this whole, like, samurai Japanese background.
Seems too quick for me.
Yeah, I mean, it, like, literally lasts a day. They go through a lot of emotions in, like, a day and a half.
Yeah, right.
It's very similar to it's too reminiscent of the dumb romance we saw in the last movie with Silver Fox and Wolverine, where in, like, a cabin, and he's so in love with her and stuff, and the woman is kind of, like, they're similar in a way, because they both have, like, this real deep soul to them.
Uh-huh.
You know?
It's Wolverine's type.
Yeah, he likes a woman with, like, a very, like, mystical type outlook on life, and, like, very, you know what I mean? Like, very sort of soft and...
Yeah.
It got that light touch.
I don't know. The difference, though, with Silver Fox is that you don't have a timeline right. for their relationship to build. So you can kind of be like, all right, he's got a girlfriend or wife or whatever. In this one, you know that he just met her the day before. So for them to have this, like, deep soul connection is kind of like...
Eh. And I don't like the scene where he's in the village, like, helping out. He's, like, chopping wood and stuff.
Yeah, it's a little too wholesome.
It's just, like, it's just a real generic cliched scene. We've seen a lot in the cartoon where he'll go to, like, a village to escape, you know, most famously in the Alaska episodes.
Yeah, right.
Where he's helping the Inuit village. Yeah. I mean, that was actually better. Yeah. Like, way better in a, building up, like, his connection with that village and the emotional stakes.
Yeah.
Here it's just like rushed, you
right.
know.
It's like, oh, a tree fell in the road. We need someone to help us clear it. And right. then he goes out there and he's the lone worker with an axe, like chopping this tree
very violently.
Well, anyway.
And then later that night, oh, then we get another flashback to Nagasaki scene. We see more of a bonding between Yashida and Wolverine and the sewer thing, and they escape right. together. He offers him his sword, and he's like, "Oh, I'll come back and get it one day."
Yeah.
And then, I mean, they really like it is a twist that Yashida's bad, the grandfather. Because he really seems to like Wolverine and is really grateful to him for saving his life. Like
yeah,
he says, like, you've turned my life, you've made me realize that life's worth living kind
right.
of thing. Then what happens? And then they, like, they, later that night, they have sex, Wolverine and Mariko.
Right.
They hook up. He wakes up, and then I guess she's kidnapped the next morning,
mm-hmm.
and he just misses it. He's, like, chasing her down the hill and sees her get thrown in a car.
Right.
Like, stabs a guy that doesn't quite escape with them and, for you know, tries to compel where they're going. Yukio shows up, and they hop in a car, and they're driving off to save Mariko.
Mm-hmm.
So here's where I think...
Yukio's like, but wait, we can't go yet. I need to tell you something. And he's like, just go. And then they presumably have, like, a 20 to 30-minute drive.
Maybe longer.
Yukio could just be telling him whatever it is she needed to say, but she waits until the car stops so that she can look him in the eye or something.
Right. So now it's like the... Well, actually, this part of the movie's still cool. The movie hasn't gone off the rails yet.
No, the movie's still cool. Just that's not realistic.
Right.
That detail.
Yeah, I know. Anyway. This next scene I don't think is great. He goes, he finds Mariko's fiance, who's like this corrupt Japanese politician. He's having an affair with a couple of like Western American
prostitutes. I mean, I don't know if affair is the right word. Yeah,
right.
He like hired a couple of prostitutes.
Right, they're partying in his bachelor pad. Wolverine goes in there, he's super mad. He like beats the shit out of him and interrogates him. And at the end of the scene, you know, the guy gives up the information. At the end of the scene, he throws him out the window and he lands in a pool.
But he says to him, like, I thought the what does he say? Something about, like, you're engaged to be married. Doesn't that mean anything to you?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you just had sex with this guy's fiance.
Oh, yeah, Wolverine
calling
did.
The kettle black.
Yeah, he doesn't care about it. He personally doesn't care about the institution of marriage, but he cares when other people don't respect it. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. Like, what if he, like, caught this guy in his apartment, like, reading the Bible or something? Very, like, peacefully. So, and, like, he throws the guy out the window. And the guy's like, I told you everything I wanted to say. He's like, I don't care. Throws
I didn't like your answer.
Right. And the guy happens to land in a pool so he doesn't die. And Yukio's like, did you know there'd be a pool there? He's like, no, I didn't. And it's just dumb because it's like if Wolverine's intention was to murder him and you're showing that he's not, like, a hero all the time,
yeah.
then just have the guy die. Like,
right.
why does his life have to be saved? Because the intention, Wolverine intended to murder. That is attempted murder.
I wonder if that was a rewrite because of, like, the
It's a PG-13
you know?
Thing. They
yeah.
can't have the hero. It's
I don't
like,
even remember what the information was that he was trying to pump this
I
guy
mean,
for.
He tells him about the father, I think.
Oh, right. Okay.
I think it's where we finally learn what the complicated plot is.
I see.
But it's like rewriting the Han Solo shooting first kind of scenario.
Yeah, right.
Where it's like we can't really have our rogue hero who's supposed to not give a shit kill somebody in cold blood.
Hmm.
Even though his intention was to do so. So I think that's just like that's a note that it just sticks out. Like it doesn't help the movie that it would have been way more shocking if he kills the guy. Like coldly, you know?
Yeah. But it'd be a Logan type of move.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
No.
Anyway, so then they go back to Yashida's house. Wolverine he sees the cool chair we were talking about,
right.
the Shiatsu Musashi chair 2000. He's like, wait, I think I can use that to do surgery on myself because it has like a bunch of monitors that shows like real-time x-rays.
Uh-huh.
So he sits on there. He sees that he's got this hideous matrix-like, speaking of the matrix,
yeah.
like this parasite, this robotic parasite attached to his heart.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, well, I better slice myself open and grab it by my hand.
It's not automatic, though. You see like the gears turning in his brain for
yeah.
him to decide to do that. But
Yukio's trying to talk him out of it. She's like, I saw you die in this room and this is he's like, this is where you're gonna die.
Yeah, but he uses a claw and slashes his chest open
and reaches in there. He's like, you may not want to watch. And this is a legitimately awesome scene in the movie. This to me, it's like price of admission makes the movie worth it. Just cause, I don't know, I think it's like badass, like
you would do that.
Well, yeah, it's like showing the craziness of his healing powers and yeah. like his character.
So he's searching around in his chest cavity, he's trying to looking find on this the computer thing, screen.
Yeah,
and Yukio's next to him, and then Mariko's dad comes in
in his samurai outfit.
Right, his what is it, kendo equipment yeah. is on.
And they get to a really cool sword fight while he's doing surgery on himself.
Yeah, he like knocks the monitor out of the way so that
right, he can't see
Logan
what he's doing.
Can't see anymore, but Yukio's trying to like fend off Mariko's dad. I wish I knew his name.
Yeah, I forget.
Anyway, yeah, so that like Wolverine can complete the surgery on himself, because this is the moment where she saw
surgery,
him die.
Surgery, sticking his hand in his chest.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, but she's, like, pretty good, you know? She, like,
yeah, she's really good.
Well.
It's an awesome sequence all around. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Wolverine succeeds. He pulls the thing out. Like, this is where I can't tell. I keep saying it's, like, a metal spider.
Yeah.
It looks like it's metal. Like, it's, like, shiny in a way.
Uh-huh.
And then it kind of disintegrates in his hand, which I thought was a really nice touch.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know if it's metal or not. It might just be a really weird organism that the Viper Lady shot into his system. I'm not quite sure, but...
I don't know. Well, when Logan first came into the laboratory yeah. to see Yashida for the first time, he sees these robotic things, like, in
jars.
Jars.
Well, are they robotic, though, or are they, like...
Whatever they are. Yeah. They almost look like, what are those, fighting fish? You know what I mean?
They
like,
do?
The way they move.
I thought they were, like, more like spiders or octopuses.
Once it's attached to his heart, it looks like a spider, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. They do look metallic, whatever it is, but yeah. maybe they're not. Maybe they're... organic material of some kind. I don't know.
It's a great scene. Wolverine, he dies, but then he comes back to life and his healing factor turns back on and brings him back to life.
Right, because he's got the spider thing off of his heart, so now his healing factor is good again.
Yeah, and then he fights Mariko's dad in another pretty like awesome scene. It's like in the rain and it's at night and just cool. That whole set of Yoshida's house is cool to me.
Yeah,
just
it's awesome.
Great like cinematography, and his dad keeps beating him, obviously. He's a really great fighter with the samurai sword.
Uh-huh.
But Wolverine can't be killed. He gets, stabbed in the chest.
Yeah, like, the sword goes all the way through, like, between the ribs and stuff,
yeah,
like, a
gross.
Few times.
Yeah.
yeah. But he just, like, pulls the swords out again, and he's fine.
And he's like, what kind of monster are you?
Yeah.
The Wolverine.
Right.
And it's like, all right, do you think that's lame or cool?
Lame.
We had a disagreement. I thought that was pretty cool. Because there's, like, lightning in the background
no,
and the rain's coming
down.
No, the
scene is
cool.
That one particular exchange of dialogue was lame.
Maybe, but I the whole scene sold it to me where I was like, that's kind of badass of Wolverine to... That's a pretty snarky answer to give back. Do you think the title of the movie is cool, The Wolverine?
Yeah.
That's where I disagree, weirdly, even though I like the line.
What else would they call it?
Wolverine 2. I don't
Wolverine
know.
Wolverine in Japan.
Yeah, you know. But my only problem is, like, it's not so much the Wolverine. I just don't like when characters call Batman the Batman.
Oh.
I hate the Batman.
So you wish it was just Wolverine.
Right, and I wish it was just Batman.
I see.
I like in Michael Keaton introduces himself, I'm Batman.
Yeah.
He's Batman. I'm not the Batman.
Right.
I think even in Christopher Nolan's... movie, when Christian Bale introduces himself, he says, I'm Batman again, too.
But I like it in the animated series, when the bad guys see Batman coming, they go, it's the Batman!
Do they say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. They mix it up, I think, in the show. I think a lot of times they just say, it's Batman, it's the Bat, or it's Bats, you know, or something. He has a lot more nicknames. It's fine. I think it's like very enough that they mix it up. My only problem with the Nolan movie, and especially I think in the Snyder ones, they're always referring to him as the Batman. It's so pretentious. Yeah. I can't deal with it. And the Wolverine, it's like only Logan says it in the movie himself once.
Right.
And it's kind of in a cool moment. It doesn't bother me. It's not like people are commenting on him. It's like, the Wolverine is out there,
yeah,
you know, hunting us down. So
I think it's done like that on purpose.
My problem is more with Batman.
It's a reference than Wolverine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't really think twice about it. But it is kind of an apt name in a way, because it's an X-Men movie, but like... Other than, like, the very final scene of the movie, we don't see any other X-Men or references to X-Men or anything.
I just think putting the in front of his name is a mark of pretension.
I see that.
You know, it trying to make it haughty and arty. It's like, he is, like, Wolverine is a character from our, like, deep mythos of our pop culture. You know, like, that's how someone might...
Did it run that way in 2013, though? Or is it now in retrospect that you feel that?
I'm just saying, in any time you put a "the" in front of a superhero's name...
No, I understand, but you feel that now. Did you feel that 5 years ago when it first came out?
Yeah, I think I did. I think I noticed the as like a just a little flourish of pretension. And it's, I think that's the spirit of this movie. I think Hugh Jackman, who's an executive producer in this movie, was embarrassed by the first one and was like, we got to do it better. I want to go to the comics. I want to like go to like one of the best series, which is the Frank Miller, Chris Claremont, which honestly, I don't think is like one of the, maybe I'm wrong here. It's not my favorite. I own the graphic novel I have for you. It's one I didn't read as much. I read the Barry Windsor Smith Weapon X one way more as a kid. The Frank Miller, Chris Claremont, I just like never got it. Just wasn't that interesting to me. I think
it's because so many people love Wolverine and they love all these little details of his origin story, not even origin, but all his little side adventures that like make him like so much more of a real character, because he has this whole life separate from the X-Men. You get to see all of his exploits, you know.
I agree. I mean, like, there's a great history of solo Wolverine adventures in the comics. It's not, you know, there's always the argument Wolverine's overdone, he's played out too much, but he has a rich, long history of doing his own thing.
Yeah.
And really cool crossovers with Spider-Man, with the Punisher, with Daredevil, you know, with just, like, Old Man Logan adventures, which I don't like that much either, personally.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, like, Wolverine as a solo guy, there's a lot to chew on. And this Japanese storyline is like among the three most famous,
right?
And I like, weirdly, I like this movie better than I like the comic book. I'll just say personally, you know, anyway, the point is, like, I think Hugh Jackman really tried hard in this one. And then what I like about the third one is he tried even harder for the third one. He's like, it still was like not like the hit it should have been. We still like didn't quite get it all right. And I think Deadpool allowed him to really go over the line, you know, with the ultra violence. I think that was the last missing element to making a great Wolverine movie. Like, all three Wolverine movies should have been like Logan. They should have been R-rated with ultra violence and really dark and messed up adventures. Instead, we got a lot of cartoonery, cartoon superhero, supervillainy. Here, it's like Viper ruins a lot of the realism established in the movie, you know, for what realism there is.
Yes.
She's an over-the-top, like, character straight out of Batman Forever. She's too much like Uma Thurman's Poison Ivy. Not Batman Forever. Batman and Robin.
Yeah, right.
It's just, she's out of place. She's not that bad. She's, like, doing the best she can.
Yeah.
The actress. But it's still, it's just out of place. At the end of the movie, she's wearing just, like, the weirdest, like, 1997 supervillain outfit.
Yeah, it's so weird. Because there's no other attempts at superhero outfits in this movie. It's so out of place.
She's a snake lady. She's wearing her green leather snake lady outfit.
What's her function in the plot of this movie, really?
She's like she's like Mr. Sinister, essentially. She's an evil scientist.
But she is not the main villain, is the thing. She's an accomplice to Yashida.
Yeah.
So is it just that she's there to justify why he has the ability to, like, take Wolverine's life force from him because she's the scientist that, like, she says, like, she unites, like, genetic mutation with her, like, knowledge of chemistry and actual science, right?
Right. That's just, again, too much like
so
Poison Ivy.
Isn't
Poison Ivy from Batman also, she's, like, a genetic chemist?
I just feel like it's unnecessary because part of the conceit with Yashida is that he's so rich. He's the most powerful rich man in Japan.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, that's Batman's superpowers. He's rich and he, like, gets shit done with that. Like, that could be the case for Yashida. I would be okay with them just explaining that he has all this technology.
All these scientists working for him.
Yeah, exactly.
They needed, I guess they wanted one more super mutant. And or a mutant. They wanted a mutant villain in the movie.
Right.
And I
Silver Samurai wasn't cutting it for them. I wish they had just left her out.
I agree. It would have been a better movie if they left her out. So now here's where the movie goes off the rails. So after Wolverine kills her dad, which I think is a really awesome scene, he heads off to the like facility where Yashida has somewhere in the snowy mountains. He heads with Yukio. There's this dumb sequence. And also, like, the boyfriend of Mariko is, like, working with the dad, too. Like, I don't get it. And he ends up betraying the dad. He's, like, this bow and arrow dude. And he's got a whole team of bow and arrow ninjas. Wolverine's running in the snow. They shoot him with a bunch of bow and arrows with tow cables on them.
Yeah.
And it's, like, Wolverine's being crucified kind of scene, you know, like...
Yeah. I like the look of the village with the snow on it. I don't like the look of, like, Wolverine running away from all these toe-line arrows.
It just looks bad to me. It's bad CGI. I don't know what it is.
It's unnecessary because he, like, keeps going. He cuts the cables. Everything's fine. And then finally, that main guy shoots him with, like, a poisoned one from so that it knocks him out.
Yeah.
Right.
Why don't you just shoot him with the one arrow you said?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So he's knocked out. They lock him into a bad guy chair. You know?
Right.
Viper's there. She's antagonizing him. The whole point is to get him to pop his claws. And he's kind of sitting like his arms are locked down.
Uh-huh.
So once his claws are popped, that was the whole idea. Oh, so we see the Silver Samurai. So unlike the comics where the Silver Samurai is like this dude. I don't know if it's Yashi himself. I don't really know the character. But, like, he's just in a samurai outfit.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, I don't know if the armor itself is magical. I think he's got a magical ring that lets him teleport or do something. And he's got, like, a magical sword of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And we see him in the X-Men cartoon. It was a pretty decent episode.
Yeah, I like that one.
So here, the Silver Samurai, it's like a big sentinel. It's like a robot.
Right. Built of adamantium.
Right. And it looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
The CGI is not bad. I think it's pretty believable in that space.
Yeah, I agree.
It's got this glowing adamantium sword. It chops off Wolverine's claws, so there goes one hand of claws. And then, you know, Wolverine manages to free himself.
No.
Mariko
intercedes and, like, magically nobody gets chopped in half by that glowing Silver Samurai sword. It just, like, frees Wolverine from his chair.
Right. The archer guy changes sides. He was originally working for Yashida, and then he decides to protect Mariko, I guess.
Right.
And tries to stop the Silver Samurai.
They had, like, a heart-to-heart conversation. They used to be in love.
Right. And he shoots Viper with an arrow, and she seems to be dead, but she's not. Right. She's fine. She actually rips off her skin, which should be, like, a really cool, gross scene, but it's not. It looks really dumb and lame.
Yeah.
So everyone's fighting. Wolverine keeps knocking the Silver Samurai down, like, infinite levels.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me a bit of just, like, the Phantom Menace, the Darth Maul fight.
Mm-hmm.
Just that kind of setting.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's dumb to me. This fight just doesn't do it for me. Mainly because I don't like that Wolverine's claws get chopped off.
Oh, you don't like when he's incapacitated?
With his claws, specifically. Yeah. You know, I hate
feel like that's his characteristics. So.
We've discussed many times, we both hate the bone claws.
Yes, I
visually,
do.
It's just lame as a weapon.
Yeah.
I don't know. His adamantine claws are supposed to be unbreakable, yet we see them, like, not all the time.
Because they're cut with adamantium.
Yeah, I know, but I don't like the idea of...
hot, glowing adamantium.
To me, the only way that makes sense of Wolverine loses his claws is if Magneto rips them out of his skeleton, which we never have gotten in a movie yet. And even then, in the comic, I thought that was a great issue, but then I didn't like that they revealed they had bone claws the whole time, and the issue after that, I was like, oh, that's dumb. So I'm just not a fan of the bone claws. And then, like, it all turns out that Yashida, in his Silver Samurai suit, has this ridiculous... invention that it drills holes into his bone claws that allows him to extract, like, either his DNA or his life essence.
See, that makes so little sense. I don't need Viper to be a part of the equation.
Right.
Just let it be. If that's gonna like be the thing, then fine.
Yeah. So it's just like this impossible invention that this guy has that, like, how would he ever know this would work? You know,
I don't even understand, like, what the theory is, like, why it's supposed to work.
Yeah, and so anyway, so Yashida's alive, by the way, spoilers. He's inside this Silver Samurai machine. It turns him into a young man. I do like that plotline of an old, like, gangster trying to get back his youth.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see it in the Spider-Man cartoon as one of my absolute favorite plotlines in the whole series is Silvermane, this, like, really withered old man gangster that he finds, like, some ancient, like, pyramid thing and to make himself a young man again.
Yeah.
And he's so obsessed with getting his energy back and to be able to crush his enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I think that is a fucking movie right there.
Yeah.
Have Spider-Man in a future movie fight Silvermane, you know, and
right. It's also a little bit parallel to the Ra's al Ghul storyline in Batman, also like an old villainous
immortality element,
like, trying to regain his youth so he can keep doing his evil business.
Right, he seems that he's like a wise man too.
But I buy, like, both of those, the Spider-Man and the Batman series, both have, like, a mystical, mythical element to those series, whereas this one is trying to explain it with, like, mutants and science, and it doesn't work for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, none of this works for me. So he drains out Wolverine. He cuts off his other claws, too.
Yeah.
He drains, like, Wolverine's life essence. Wolverine's not, like, turning into an old man. He's just, like, getting a pale color. He's turning green or something.
Uh-huh.
The guy's turning young. Mariko grabs one of Wolverine's claws laying on the ground and throws it at her grandfather's head, mm-hmm. like a perfect strike.
Yeah.
And
they revealed earlier in the movie that, like, the guy that she wanted to marry when she was young, that's now working for Yashida, was, like, the top archer in their town. He mm-hmm. won all the competitions, and she won in knives or something. She was, like, a knives expert, so... I think they planted that so that later on she could, like, throw one blade with exact precision.
But somehow
she knows about knife throwing.
She hits the guy in the head and he's still talking.
Yeah.
He's like, Mariko, don't kill me. Or Wolverine, you know, like, let me go. And he's got a huge, like, claw sticking out of his skull.
Yeah.
Does he have the healing factor now himself? Is that how he's allowed to still talk?
Maybe it just didn't hit, like, the language center of the brain or something.
And then she takes the other claw and stabs him in the neck. Wolverine's bone claws pop up now, and
that's brutal, though, right? It's not, like, gory brutal, but it's, like, she just stabbed her grandfather in the throat. But Wolverine's like, oh, like, isn't that, but that's your grandfather or something. And she's like, no, I buried my grandfather.
Oh, wow.
Meaning that, like, this is some, you know, zombie abomination or something.
Right, yeah.
So she's, like, emotionally detached from it, and it doesn't count as murder or something. Yeah. But it...
They
but
kill
it's her
him.
Grandfather. Like.
Yeah. Wolverine throws him off the edge of the cliff and presumably dies. So I guess he doesn't have the healing factor. He's just dead. And Wolverine gets all his powers back. He's fine.
Yeah.
So anyway, the movie ends sort of. Wolverine's at the tarmac with Mariko. She's taking over her grandfather's business. She's going to be a rich billionaire. Wolverine's been calling her a princess the whole movie, which I think is lame.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, why don't you stay with me?
Mm.
And in classic X-Men fashion, he's like, no, I must go.
Yeah.
I'm a soldier. I'm needed elsewhere. So I guess he's realizing that he has to be an X-Man.
He has to go save some more bears.
Right, or something. They make out. He gets on the plane with Yukio. She's like, I'm your bodyguard now. We'll never see her again in a future movie.
Sadly. Like, I wish she would have, like, kept being a character. She's cool.
Yeah, definitely. She's awesome.
So is Mariko, actually.
Yeah, I like the two women leads in this movie. Yeah. Very interesting. They've got some agency. Definitely Yukio. Mariko's a bit of a damsel in distress throughout most of it, but, you know.
Yeah, but then, like, she finds her bearing in, like, those last awful scenes of the movie, and, like, she does become the heir to the company empire and, like, presumably is going to go run it, you know?
Right.
It's cool.
And they get in the plane. Yukio's like, where should we go? It's like, anywhere. Just take me up. She's like, okay, but where are we going? She's like, let's just figure it out later. She's like, interesting. But you can't tell a plane just go into the sky. It's not like the end of Michael. You ever see this movie with George Clooney called Michael Clayton?
I don't remember.
I'll spoil the very last scene. So he's a lawyer. Uh-huh. At the very end of the movie, you don't need to know what happens. He's like relieved. It's all over with. He gets in a taxi car, and the taxi in New York, the taxi guy's like, where should I take you? He's like, just drive. He's like, what? Just drive anywhere.
Yeah.
That's more believable. Because in a car, you could just drive in a circle, go wherever you want. In a plane...
You just drive in a circle.
And what, land back in Japan? So then the movie ends in the airplane. It's dumb. It's a really weak ending.
Yeah.
They cut out a scene. It's a very famous scene. You can look it up online where Yukio presents him with the Wolverine costume.
Yeah.
That we never see him wear in any of the movies.
Why would she be the one to give it to him? It's best cut out of the movie, probably.
I guess, but it still would have been fun, even if it was a deleted scene, to see him. It's one thing. He doesn't even try it on. If he could have just... I want to see Hugh Jackman in the outfit. I'm sure there's been, like, dumb, like, artistic renderings of Hugh Jackman in the costume.
Uh-huh.
You can probably Google them, but it looks bad, I'm sure. But still, I don't know what they were thinking with the costume and not... So you think it's for the best that they didn't have that scene in the movie?
Yeah, because it's more that, like, unnecessary fan service, like you were saying about the other movies.
All right, so now we get the very final scene. So this is an after-credit scene. Yeah. Wolverine's in the airport. He went somewhere, obviously. He runs into Magneto, played by Ian McKellen. He's an old man. He's got all his powers back. Wolverine tries to stab him with his bone claws. And Magneto's like, we need your help. There's dark things over the horizon. Mm-hmm. And we see a commercial in the background for Trask Industries, which is, you know, the Sentinel company. Mm-hmm. Bolivar Trask, the evil scientist. And he's like, I can't trust you. He's like, but you, Magneto's like, but you can't trust him. And then we see Patrick Stewart sashay himself into this movie. How would you describe this entrance?
I don't know. He's incredibly mobile, considering that he's bound to a wheelchair.
It's just funny, right? Like,
there's something like really strange about. They're like trying to show off the great technology that his wheelchair has. I guess
it's so almost
it makes
like
all these like advanced like swaying maneuvers.
Yeah, it's like real. It's like swaying in like a figure skater on a pair of ice skates.
Yep,
is really funny and distracting. And it's almost like he had the floating gold wheelchair that we know and love from the 90s in the cartoon, but yeah. It's just still like a regular wheelchair.
Uh-huh.
Again, the biggest mistake the X-Men movies ever made was never introducing the floating gold wheelchair. That is essential to the Professor X character in the modern age, in my opinion.
Mm.
Have him have the old wheelchair in the 60s, like the regular one like he has in First Class, it's fine, but in the future, he should be in that gold box thing.
How did they make that?
What do you mean, how? It's just a prop.
CGI.
You know? Yeah, dumb little golden, like, Cadillac for his legs that he rides in.
Yeah.
And in the next movie, he'll have a floating wheelchair, but it's not the floating gold box. It's right, I'm still let down. But so he comes sashaying in. He's like, Wolverine's like, how are you alive? Because as we remember, in X-Men 3, he, like, was disintegrated by Jean Grey.
Yeah.
There was a post-credit stinger in there that there was, like, a body double or something that he may have flown into. He's like, I told you, Wolverine, that I have more gifts than you could possibly imagine. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the movie ends. But they're hinting at the next movie. And this is where things don't make sense. And the timeline, the continuity is totally messed up. Because in the next movie, Days of Future Past, it's like presumably set like 20 years after the Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when, but it like Wolverine has gray hair in the next one. Or gray wingtips, at the least.
Mm-hmm.
He has got his adamantium claws back.
Yeah, I know. Like, how do you get those?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. And it's kind of like, oh, cool. Give him his fucking claws back, right? That's good.
Yeah, better.
But then in the next movie, as we'll discuss, it takes place in the past when he doesn't have the adamantium claws. He's got the bone claws throughout the whole stupid movie. It drives me nuts. And actually, in this movie, we didn't mention that when he's fighting the Silver Samurai, in my mind, I'm saying, like, yeah, that's cool. He's finally fighting a big robot with his claws. Something I've always wanted to see him slashing a robot to bits.
Uh-huh.
And but he doesn't have his claws against this thing. It chops his claws off. And we'll see in the next one, he fights a bunch of metal robots, and he's got bone claws. It's lame. So it doesn't make sense. So in the next movie, too, it's, like, in the future beyond this one, and Ian McKellen is still, like, he's, like, the same age, and so is Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
They don't age a day. So the timeline's all wonky and screwed up.
It's going to get worse.
It'll get way worse, right. personally, so that's the end of the movie. Personally, I like this better than X-Men First Class.
Yeah, me too.
Very enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Like I said, very pleasurable to look at.
I'm going
to
say, like, I would give it 3.5 out of 5 adamantium claws. Maybe that's not the way to do it. 4 out of 6 adamantium claws. That math is better.
Right, yeah. When we rate the Wolverine movies, we have to rate them out of 6 adamantium claws. Would you give it? So 4.5 or 4?
4.
I'll give it a 3.5.
All right.
Very good. Well, not very good. It's good. Good, yeah. Not great. Better than you think. Better than you remember.
Go in with low expectations and you'll be pleasantly surprised.
I think somehow, maybe just the idea that it's the same director's Logan that redeems it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You look back at it with new appreciation.
Yeah.
And so there's like a talented filmmaker there, is the point.
Mm.
He's trying his best. Maybe there's like stuff the studio's like, you gotta add this another mutant character in there, and they like force Viper on him. Who knows? But like I can give him excuses because the next movie's gonna be so much better.
I think also I do appreciate that they were trying to do something different, you know? It's like, I feel like all these superhero movies, there's a lot of, like, Washington's in distress. New York needs saving.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, they're trying something new.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Wolverine solo adventure, so the scale should be a bit reduced. It should be a bit more about character and not about saving the world.
Yeah.
So in that sense, they got it right. Wolverine Goes to Japan, like we said, is a famous trope from the comics. So, you know, it's like, it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
It could have been better. I think the way to make the movie better is to pare down the, like we just said, Viper, get her out of there, and just have more visual violence, in my opinion. It's just, you got to have that in a Wolverine movie to sell it.
Nah, I don't need more of that. Just get rid of Viper and make like the actual plot line a little clearer.
Okay, well, we disagree on that point. I need more senseless violence. So that's all I got in this movie. I guess the next movie will be X-Men Days of Future Past. That'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to talking about it, I guess. There's going to be a lot more wacky things to discuss in that movie, I would say. It's going to be a bit more of a wacky discussion. Okay. Moving on. You can follow me on Twitter at Willie Simpson. You can join our Facebook group, X-Men Task Podcast, and you can rate and review the podcast wherever you do so. Sonia, any final words before we descend late into the rainy night?
Sayonara.